This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
There are days when I imagine it might be interesting to dig out that long black sitting robe in the back of my closet from we all used to wear at Edo Roshi's place, the Zendo, shave my head, and get you all to call me Roshi. Might make for an interesting bit of theater. I suspect a lot of people would actually come to like it. We want someone, after all, to look and play the part. And to the extent that idealization and aspiration are necessary and healthy aspects of relationship to mentors and teachers, we inevitably have an image of what kind of person we want to emulate, who we want to identify with, how we're going to recognize such a person. I said identify with, but often we're very unsure about whether we prefer someone who's very much like us and that we can identify with and feel like, oh, I'm like that person, I can do what he's doing. Or whether we prefer to attach ourselves to someone wholly other and special, someone who has none of my flaws and all the qualities I wish I had. That can be very satisfying, and we can feel very safe because we've presumed that that person is really almost another order of being who won't have the failings of ordinary people. It's a natural psychological tendency to long for that kind of specialness. Now the dilemma, of course, is when we discover the disjunction between the image and the reality, what's supposed to give, what happens. There was an old saying, if you want to lose your religion, get to know a priest. See, in the Catholic religion, as I understand it, the power and efficacy of the Mass and the sacraments do not depend on the character of the priest performing the ceremony. The power comes directly through Christ or from God. So a flawed priest nonetheless can be the vessel of a genuine spiritual experience. And Graham Greene got a lot of mileage out of this idea. But in Zen we have more or less the opposite idea. I was reading in a commentary by Kodo Sawaki the other day where he says, we really have no idea what the Buddha said or taught. Everything that we have ascribed to him was written down hundreds of years later and in a language he didn't speak. But what we have is the direct impression that he made as a person on the people around him. And that impression has been passed down directly, generation after generation. It's how he speaks of mind-to-mind transmission outside of the sutras or scriptures. So there's something in Zen that the idea is that we are not participating in an abstract study of the Dharma. We're not following a technique that's like learning mathematics, where it's true regardless of whether the teacher is a drunk or a pedophile or anything else. The mathematics is true, and you can learn it from anybody. Dharma is not supposed to be like that. Dharma is supposed to be the manifestation in the person of the teacher. Of what? Of what? See, what we manifest as teachers is not necessarily the perfection of character or the embodiment of perfect compassion or love. This is not news to any of you who know me. But somehow there has to be in the teacher an embodiment of a certain kind of acceptance, first of who they themselves are as a human being, as an individual, their personal characteristics or karma, the capacity to say, this is me. And an acceptance of the nature of what it is to be a human being, and that embedded in a world of interdependency, which we usually would think of simply as vulnerability, and impermanence. See, I'd like to think that most of where we put our emphasis is that presentation and willingness to look in the mirror and say, this is me. Hard, very hard thing to do. It seems very, very simple, and we avoid it all of our lives. And sometimes we have to start with just being able to tolerate the fact that the teacher looks like this, right? Sometimes meet someone and they'll tell me I don't look at all like a Zen teacher. And I'll say, that's your first lesson. Because if I don't look like a Zen teacher, they certainly don't look like a Zen teacher to themselves, right? Whatever Zen teacher is supposed to mean, it often is something so idealized or transcendental that it's way off in some metaphysical horizon. It's unreachable. And when we find fault in the particularities of the teacher, how much more so we find fault in the particularities of ourselves, where we feel like, I can never attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, whatever that's supposed to be, right? sometimes people ask me why. I ask them to do full bows coming into the Dhamma Sangha. It's not something some people are comfortable with. Is it submitting to an authority, to a teacher? See, I think of it as accepting that the teaching is embodied in me, in this person that you're here to study with. Right? Not an easy idea to swallow. Right? But that's what we got to work with. Right? We have to be able to see that if we want the Dharma, this is the package it comes in. This is where you're going to find it. In this room, on this street, in this very nondescript setting. Yeah. If you can believe it's here, if you can believe it's in me, maybe you can believe it's in you.